The second mistake that people are making is they try to use rules. I think this is a natural extension of the first mistake, right? You're trying to limit your child's screen time. They resist. They fight it. They sneak around. It leads to a bunch of yelling and arguing. And at some point, you start to feel powerless and you go, I'm the parent. This is what we're doing. And you make rules. Jesse, explain to us why making rules does not work. Welcome to the Unshakable Habits Podcast, where we help you to build the habits and routines that help build the life you want so you can turn everyday actions into powerful wins for your health, mindset, relationships, faith, and professional growth. I am your host, Stephen Box. As you may have gathered, today we're going to be talking about helping you to reduce your child's screen time. This is something that I've had a lot of clients and a lot of friends even share with me can be quite the struggle. It creates a lot of conflict in the house. And according to my guest today, Jesse Lewell, there are 20 different mistakes that parents make when it comes to trying to reduce their child's screen time. And today, Jesse's going to share with us the top three or four mistakes that you might be making and what to do instead. So today, I think you guys are going to get tremendous, matter of fact, I know that you guys are going to get tremendous value out of this because Jesse's going to point out the most common mistakes that people are making and give you the alternative to do. And then if you want to learn some of the other things that might be going on, Jesse has a webinar that covers 20 different mistakes that parents might be making. So with that, allow me to introduce my guest today, Jesse Lewell. Jesse, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you today?
Doing well. Jesse, let's start off with, how did you get into this idea of helping parents limit screen time for children? Like, what made this a passion project for you?
Okay, actually, I didn't start this specifically on my mind. It was actually an accident somehow. Because of my background, I actually worked 14 years in cybersecurity, and my husband is also a tech guy. So actually, both of us, we are trying to delay the technology use in our children because, number one, the internet is not safe. My background, we know what is out there. And then secondly, we know that we are a computer science graduate. We know all these devices are very addictive.
Yeah.
And that's why we want to delay. But when the pandemic came, like March 2020, the whole world shuts down and my kid has to go to the online in order to continue the online learning journey for that. So I realized that, oh shit, I can't delay anymore. And therefore, I decided I need to do something because if not, my children will be also be addicted like other kids addicted to the screen time. Because it's also a problem that I heard a lot of my friends complaining about. And when one of my friends actually called me up and shared that she was fighting with her teenage son to wrestle the smartphone physically from her son because of her son's gaming addiction, it got me shocked. And then I was like, oh my God. And then I realized that maybe it's something that I need to share with the world. And that's how my journey started.
Okay. Yeah, so let's dive into this a little bit, right? First of all, why is this a problem?
Actually, all these smartphones, they are actually designed to get us hooked to the device. So if I actually study, there's a good book called Hook by Near et al. It's actually a habit book that explains why all of us are actually hooked to the platform, like Facebook, Instagram, all the social media, even the YouTube. All these, they actually install the gamifications process and they also have the triggers. It's like a habit system look to actually hook us to the platform again. And because the habit has been repeated so many times, it just becomes like subconscious. Like, I think right now, not to say about children, even most adults, they are addicted. If they're waiting in, maybe they're waiting for a train, they're boring, then the thing is, they just look at the smartphone.
Yeah.
Even in the train, they're looking at the smartphone. And I even see some people crossing the road, even with the smartphone, which is quite could be quite dangerous, right? And that's why I realized that I do want that to actually shape the habits in my children. And I recognize that I need to do something, because if not, my children will be also addicted. Because if adults have so much difficulty to not be distracted and hooked to the bad phone, what about our children?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think this is a good point to kind of point out here. As adults, we have fully developed functioning brains. And most of us, maybe the younger generation, but when I say most of us, I'm thinking like people my age and older, and people even a few years younger than me, had the benefit of growing up without all this technology. And even we're addicted to all the technology and the screens now. And so if people who grew up without all that stuff can get hooked on it, and I imagine it's really difficult for the younger generation whose brains are still developing, that they're still taking in all these ideas, that they're still trying to figure out who they are, that this really is a problem for them. And it's going to be much more difficult for them to break this habit later on, because they don't even have a frame of reference for what it was like without it.
Yeah, totally agree. Like we can totally refer back to the old days when you were younger and you don't have the smartphone. And when you were younger, like a teenager, you just take your bags and with the books, maybe go to hang out with your friends, and maybe you actually have to call and decide that, okay, I'm going to meet you there at 1:40, and you have to be punctual there because you can't call anybody else if you're late, right? But right now, everybody has the smartphone. So it's actually a different world that our children are born in. They are actually born in this digital era.
Yeah, and I think most people, when they start thinking about technology, yeah, and I don't have children myself, just full disclosure. So I'm basing this off of what I've heard from my friends who are parents, right? Is it seems like there's a few different buckets that people put technology use into, and they don't necessarily put them together. Which I find interesting, because I teach this concept of connected health, right? Where we're looking at the physical, the mental, the emotional, the relationships, the environment, and your bigger sense of purpose or your existential health. And I find that most people, when I talk to them, they don't stop to think about how those interconnect each other, how they view them almost as separate things. And I think the exact same thing applies to the technology conversation. There's, yes, the connection aspect of technology, which we already touched on a little bit, but there's also the dangerous side of technology, right? There's kids out there getting addicted to pornography. There's predators out there online who are making contact with children, right? Those are two big ones that people think about, but I think one that doesn't get discussed enough is bullying. When I was a kid, I got bullied. I got bullied at school, and then I came home and I didn't have to deal with my bully. With technology, you can literally be bullied 24/7. And I think it's important to have this conversation about technology and some of the dangers of it, because people don't necessarily stop to think. They think of the big concerns, but they don't think about the small micro things that happen with technology every single day that actually have a bigger impact. We worry about the big bad wolf out there coming to get your kids, but we don't stop to think about the little small things that are actually eating away at them.
Yes, totally agree. And you're right, because the phone is actually much more, it's just so mobile, and it's actually so small and compact. You can actually just, you just bring it even to anywhere, even to your washroom.
Yeah. Yeah, I cannot tell you the number of people that have, it's become a joke to them that they go to the bathroom to look at their phone. They don't go to the bathroom to use the bathroom. They go to look at their phone.
Yes, yes. I know a few of them as well.
Yes. Like, why are you in there for 45 minutes? Because you're watching TikTok videos, right?
Yes, totally agree. And that's why I think it's actually very important, because if, let's say, we raise a generation that is all of them or most of them, they're actually addicted and hooked to the platform, then we may have what kind of generations we are actually raising right now. Yeah. They are the futures for us, and therefore we actually need to step up as parents to actually help them to regulate their screen time and actually empower them to actually use it. Because at the end of the day, technology is just a tool.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned earlier about how addictive technology is and how that's by design, right? And we can see this in other places. I know junk food is the same way. Junk food has been scientifically engineered to be addictive, and people wonder why they can't let go of it, right? But when you look at technology, there are some benefits to the way that it's set up, right? For example, if you've been trying to make positive changes in your life, and you're listening to a show like this, more than likely, you found this show because you started listening to other shows about habits and making positive changes in your life. And the platform went, oh, you might this show. And so that's probably how you found me, is by that technology that is in place, that those addictive processes that they use, it benefited you here. But a lot of times, those same processes aren't helping you, especially if you find yourself going down the wrong rabbit hole, then now you get pulled further in that way. So that works both ways. I always tell people, there's no such thing as good habits and bad habits. I look at every habit on a spectrum. And the question is, are you on the side of the spectrum that's taking you further away from your goals, or the side of the spectrum that's taking you further towards your goals? Because the habit in and of itself is not inherently bad, but that's what people tend to think of. They think good habit, bad habit. And I think technology is the same, right? It's not necessarily the technology itself is bad, but if you get on the wrong side of the spectrum, it can be bad.
Yes, totally agree. And actually, what I find actually about fascinating about technology is when I realized I saw in fitness on my second son, his name is Wei, and actually Wei likes to do drawing, and he learned all his drawing on the YouTube Kids, and basically he learned his drawing skills, and now he's as a 7-year-old at the time, I realized that he was drawing very beautiful Spider-Man drawing, and it's just like as good as those in the comics, and I realized that, wow, if you use it in the right way, it can actually empower you to pursue things that you like, to pursue things that in line with your values and your purpose and your passion as well.
Yeah. So I think this is actually a really good one, because I think at this point, there comes a logical choice that parents make, which is, okay, you're right. There are benefits to the technology and there are drawbacks. So the natural solution that makes this to a lot of parents, and in case you guys are wondering, this is mistake number one, is they say, I'll just limit and control their screen time. I'll limit what they're looking at. I'll limit how long they get. I'll limit all those things, and I will control what they do. And then that way I can make sure they avoid all the negative stuff. So Jesse, explain to me why this is a mistake. What's wrong with this?
Okay, so what I actually spoken to a lot of parents, and when I try to limit and control my own child's screen time, I realized that there's actually a huge disconnect between me and her, because there's a tension that she wanted more, mm-hmm. but I wanted her to have less. And then I come to the point that I realized that because my priority for me is my connections with her is the one that I'm really prioritized the most, which means that connection with her is the priority for me. So I was actually thinking, how can I have the connections at the same time able to get her to have an ideal or actually not too excessive screen time? And then I start to actually go into another path where I start to empower her to use the screen time, use in the right way rather than try to control and limit. And as I actually start to work with a lot of parents, I realized that the more they control and limit, that's another drawback, which is there's no safe space communication. Your child don't trust you. You don't trust your child. And because online, they're actually spending a lot of time online. Like, you're right. If they're bullied online, yeah. If they're talking to strangers online, or maybe they just stumble on something that is not appropriate for them. It could be porn, alcohol, it could be anything, drugs, right? Yeah. So they may actually see something that they are not comfortable. But let's dive into if we are the child and my parents is trying to control me. Do you think this child wants to talk to the parents?
Right.
No, right? So I think that come to the child's perspective, if I talk to my parents, I'll be at school. I'll be a little bit more. I can't even have my screen time.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, they try to actually shield, and they start to have lying. They start to, they try to actually do hanky-panky. And sometimes because they, all of their peers, because right now, I think that, especially if most of the countries, from my understanding, is that you're in the secondary school, means that you are 13 and above. 95% of them, they already have a smartphone.
Yeah.
And then, like, the peer pressure is high. And sometimes the peer pressure will actually push them to do something that's stupid. This is a stupid thing. But I'm having the peer pressure, so I can't go to my parents. I have this bad influence. I'm stuck in between. And then the child may actually need to fall into the peer pressure and do some stupid stuff as well. And sometimes they can be aligned, which means that, oh, your mom don't give you Instagram, no problem, you create account in my phone, which happens a lot. So some of my clients come to me, I don't allow her to install Instagram, no problem, she installs in her friend's phone. I think this is even worse, right? So I think that's one of the reasons why I think that is limiting and controlling is actually the worst idea. Because yes, they need to be limited. But the way you do it, it shouldn't like, oh, you should have only 30 minutes of screen time. Because the more you try to limit and control, your child actually see it as a scarce resources.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting, right? Because when you start to restrict, what that does is that creates a feeling of deprivation, right? That FOMO kicks in, right? It's that I must be missing out on something. And I think a lot of adults can actually maybe relate to this if you start thinking about things like when you try to go on a diet and that diet is really strict and it becomes difficult because you feel like you're missing out on the foods that you want to eat, or you feel like you can't go hang out with people because there's going to be alcohol involved, or you're going to be eating foods that aren't on your diet or whatever, right? And the more that you try to restrict yourself in those ways, the more the temptation kicks in, right? And even think about as a kid, or thinking about as when I was a kid, I maybe had 4 or 5 people around me that would influence me in negative ways, right? Today, I could literally have hundreds, if not thousands, of people that can negatively influence me at any given time.
Yes, totally agree. Yeah, and you're right. You are so precise about the food. Even we're not talking about restricting the screen time. If we restrict the food, I think that all of us were deprived. And that's why those people who actually go for the dieting, most of them fail.
Yep. Yeah. Not to mention the fact that it's limiting only solves the problem temporarily, right? It's not fixing the overall issue. And as you said, just like when we were kids, we were pretty resourceful. We were pretty good at getting around things that we weren't supposed to be doing. And kids today are no different. So if you limit them at home, they're just going to find ways to get it somewhere else, whether that's a friend's phone or whatever. They're just going to find other ways to get that fixed, because when they go to school and all their friends are talking about whatever TV show came on or whatever meme got posted or whatever, now all of a sudden they feel left out, right? They don't feel like they're in, so they have to get that fixed so they can be a part of the crowd.
Yes, totally agree.
Yeah. So the second mistake that a lot of parents make, and guys, just so you know, this is just going to be 3 out of 20 mistakes that Jesse has lied out that people make. And I know Jesse also has a webinar where she goes through these 20 mistakes more in depth. So we're giving you the big 3 today, but I just wanted you to be aware that even outside of those 3, there are 17 more mistake that you might be making. Highly would encourage you to go check that out. And at the end of this episode, Jesse is going to give you a link where you can go and check that out. And it will also be in the show notes as well. The second thing is this, what is it? Excuse me, if I can talk here. The second mistake that people are making is they try to use rules. And I think this is a natural extension of the first mistake, right? So you're trying to limit your child's screen time. They resist. They fight it. They sneak around. They try to do all these things. It leads to a bunch of yelling and arguing or whatever. And at some point, you start to feel powerless and you go, I'm the parent. This is what we're doing. And you make rules. And Jesse, explain to us why making rules does not work.
Okay. So when you actually make rules, so a lot of times we actually just come, oh, this is the rules. I'm your parent. Just follow it. And all that. So I think that it depends on your child's personality. If your child is a person who likes to follow through and he's more obedient, maybe you actually follow through the rules.
Yeah.
But not every kid is like that.
Mm-hmm.
Agree? So when you actually put on the rule, you're actually pushing it on your child. And when you're actually pushing it on your child, do you think that they own the accountability to follow through the rules?
Probably not. Most of them, no.
Yeah. So you got it, right? So you want them to hold the accountability. So when you want them to hold the accountability, you need to set, you have to hold them why together. Like you have a clear boundaries why this is set. And this boundaries is actually set because it's for us, for you and me and for us.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the child realizes that, wow, I have the power to contribute to this and it's actually in my power, I want to follow through.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, there's no point having the rules tell, pick, and I say, okay, follow through. But when your child actually cannot follow through and refuse or resist to follow through, you want them to get them. You want them to get their buy-in. Maybe some of the parents, they may disagree. You shouldn't negotiate with your child. Because mm-hmm. I got that a lot as well. That you shouldn't negotiate your child. You are the parents. You should say A, he should follow A. But that's not the parenting in this digital era works. Because like they have exposure to a lot of things online. Unlike us. I think back me and you, we could be a bit like, I call it blah, blah. Because we don't have much exposure and we don't have much influence. But now with the phone, with the internet, they have more exposure.
Yeah.
They are more informed. They have more information come to their brain and they process. Right?
Yeah.
And then they may think, why should I be following you through these stupid rules?
Yeah. Yeah, I think something to consider here for people who make that, but I am the parent. They need to learn to follow rules. They need to learn to be obedient. All those things, right? I hear you. I do. But it's rather interesting. I like to bring this conversation back to other areas of health because I think it makes it more easily for people to relate to it. Because when we're talking about mistakes that you might be making as a parent, it's very easy, especially with me not having kids. I will get a lot of times like, you don't understand. You can't. You're not a parent. You're not allowed to speak with this, right? I get that a lot. And at least by bringing you on, you have the authority because you are a parent. You can actually talk about this, right? But I think what happens is sometimes emotions get involved when we start telling people that they might be making a mistake as a parent. So I like to relate this out to other areas so that people can see how this mistake might play out without the emotion. And it's very similar to, again, going back to the idea of strict dieting. Why is it that most people regain the weight that they lose on a diet? It's because diets have all these rules and rules are not sustainable. And when you follow the rules, even if you're very obedient to the rules, even if you follow them, even if you get results, what are the rules for maintaining your results? That's completely different. That's a different circumstance. Even if you are to limit your child's exposure to a screen, even if you come up with all these rules, and even if you are one of the lucky parents out there that your child is completely ill, teaching them how to do it on their own once they're away from you. Are you teaching them how to not have this issue? The rest other, and I think that's where I'd want people to look at.
Yes, and actually I want to actually talk about on that is like when you limit and control, you use the limit and control strategy, right? So that's one key success to this is you have to be there all the time.
Yep.
But realistically, as parents, it is very hard to be there all the time.
Yeah.
Right? Because you have so many things that you have to do. So
yeah.
When you're not there, then your child will be just addicted to the screens. Oh, good. My mom is not sure. So let's go to the screens and they will be spending 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours, whatever it is. And that's why you need to teach them to self-regulate so that they can actually stop on their own.
Yeah. And here's the thing, guys. I want to make sure that y'all get this right. With the first mistake, you're trying to limit their time, right? So you're trying to control and you get pushback. And this is going to create frustration for you, right? So then you go to the second mistake, which is you start to put rules in place, right? So the first time it's more like an asking, hey, can we put the screen away, whatever, right? And now you're actually making demands. Now you're like, you can only use the screen 2 hours a day, right? And this now creates even more pushback, more resistance, which then creates more frustration for you. And then you actually have two mistakes here. I'm going to combine these if that's okay. So the first is that parents will focus on correcting the behavior. And then the second one, I think, is actually really tightly connected here, is that parents react to the child's misbehavior. And I'm combining those because I think what happens sometimes is people will focus on correcting the behavior. And if we're trying to correct the behavior, then that means that we think the behavior is bad and therefore it's misbehavior. And now parents are getting more frustrated and now they're raising their voice and they're yelling. And then, guys, I want you to stop and think here for a second. And Jesse, I might be still on your ears here. But you are actually now teaching your child a whole new set of skills that are probably even worse than the screen time, which is how to not handle conflict management, right? So other than that, is there anything else about focusing on correcting behavior that you see as a mistake? Why is that a mistake for people?
Okay. So when you correct the behavior, it's not that we do not need to correct the behavior. So I want to actually make like disclaimer, it's not that we do not need to correct the behavior, but when our focus starts to correct their behavior, we will start to tell them that you're wrong, you have the problems, you. And then your child, let's dive into the child situation right now and his position, he will feel like, oh, so I have the problem. And anyone who is being criticized, what will be the likelihood that he will listen to you? He will be in the denial mode or defense mode. And I can actually say that like his rule of defense starts to go up. Yeah. And literally what you tell him that is wrong, it's not going to reach him because his rule of defense is like so high, right? So in order for us to get them to listen and understand why is this a problem, we need to calm ourselves down. Literally, actually, most of the people were that I need to correct the child. I need to fix the child. But actually, the most of the time is I need to control myself first.
Yeah.
So that I can respond. Because when, of course, when as a parent, when we see our child misbehave, of course, we are angry. Of course, we are disappointed. Of course, we feel like maybe there's a lot of shame and guilt into that. Right? Mm. We have all that. And I'm being a parent, I have that too.
Yeah. All of us had that.
Right. But when we actually act from that position, we reacted. And with the reactions, when you shout, yell, your child defense systems, the wall is actually as high, is higher than him. He's not listening to you. And he also learned to yell and fight back with you. And that's really what he learns. And that's not something that we want to happen. And that's why we need to work on ourselves, calm down ourselves first, so that we can respond to the misbehavior. And when the child is calm now and he felt that I'm being heard, I'm being understood, then he would want to listen to you. What is your opinion as well?
Yeah. Yeah. So what you're really saying is, yes, we want to correct the behavior, but when we start trying to do it from a place of authority, when we're limiting, we're controlling, we're setting rules, and we're really focused on how do I correct the behavior, and then we're reacting to what we see as disobedience, what we're doing is we're creating a really negative loop where as the parent, we're going to be frustrated. But at the same time, you are mentally affecting the child because now they're being constantly told that they're stupid, that they're making mistakes. And that may not be the words you're using, but that's what they're hearing, right? And that can really lower their self-worth, their self-confidence. It can really have an impact on them. And then guess what? If you are telling them, stop doing this, is wrong, you shouldn't be doing this, and you're making them feel bad, you're making them, because remember, there are literally billions of dollars being spent on making this stuff addictive. It's not just as simple as, hey, turn off your screen, right? And you're basically making someone who has a billion-dollar industry fighting for their attention feel bad about their inability to put down the phone. And what do you think is going to happen when you do that, guys? They're going to go to that technology. They're going to find ways to go get it. Because guess what? When they post a picture on Instagram or they post a video on TikTok or whatever, they are going to get likes and comments, and it's going to make them feel better. So if at home I'm being yelled at, being told to stop doing something, but online I'm being praised and applauded, where do you think they're going to turn?
The technology, obviously. And that's why you want them to feel that this is a place that they are being appreciated, they are seen, they are loved. And therefore, they want to, actually, most of us, we want something in real life. We are not long in something in the virtual world because it's not something that you can touch, you can hug, right? So for a child, it's actually the same. I bet that most of the child, they all want the connections with the parents. They want to be hugged, they want to be praised, they want to be told that they are enough. And when they feel there's enough and they are praised, and then it's actually easy to guide them back so that they not continue to be addicted to their screen.
Yeah. And I think you pointed out earlier, even as adults, we tend to spend a lot of time on devices, we're on social media, we're looking at news stories, we're watching YouTube videos, whatever, right? And it can be very easy to get caught up in that world yourself. And then you're modeling these behaviors. But I know that's something you talk about a little bit more in depth on your webinar and things like that. So we won't give away everything here. When you start to look at this, I think a little bit of empathy towards your child goes a long ways. And correct me if I'm wrong here, but I feel if you can understand why this is a difficult thing for your child to break free from by maybe looking at your own behaviors and realizing that it's not even easy for you to do it, and you can stop looking at this as a mistake that your child is making and stop focusing on correcting that behavior like we just talked about, and instead start to understand what it is that your child needs. Start to get in tune with what they actually are missing out on that social media is giving them, and then find ways to give that to them. That's really what the solution is here, right?
Yes, absolutely. Because like sometimes why the kids, they are addicted, they are actually looking for something. Could be something that to fulfill their connections. Perhaps they don't have the connections back at home, but in the virtual world, everybody is praising him. Oh, you're so good. You're so beautiful. It feels good, right? And our dopamine starts to kick in. And then, of course, they're looking for connection. They're looking for approval. And they're also looking for some acknowledgement or maybe accomplishment. That's why the gaming, a lot of kids, they are actually tied to the gaming because all this gaming actually give them accomplishment. Okay, I got how many goals? I got how many levels? I have achieved how many rewards from the game itself? So you need to actually realize that, hey, actually, all these are actually coming into the picture. And sometimes when we actually have empathy, we realize that it's actually not the gaming. It's actually not the gaming. It's something that your child is lacking and it's something that he needs. And your job is actually to understand and look at it and see how you can actually meet that needs so that he will not need to come to the games to fulfill that need.
Yeah, and I think so much of that really is understanding that, again, going back to what we talked about earlier, these things are not inherently bad, right? There's no problem with your kid playing games. The problem is when the game becomes more important to them than everything else. And that's happening because something is missing. That game is giving them something that they don't think they're getting somewhere else.
Yes, absolutely. And then bear in mind that for a child, it's very, because they are still discovering their own identity. They do not have the focus and attention. You already 45. You have your purpose. You mentioned some of your things that about the spiritual, emotional, mental. So you're actually very clear about that.
Yeah.
But for a child, they are just beginning of their journey. They have no idea what's emotional, spiritual, mental, physical, and all that.
Yeah.
They are still discovering their own identity. And that's where it's actually very hard for them to pull back from these devices.
Yeah.
So I think that it's really about helping them to discovering who they are,
mm-hmm.
acknowledging them so that they can actually use the technology to pursue what they are actually passionate about.
Yeah. 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 I teach a concept when it comes to getting healthy, like physically healthy. So when we talk about things like diet and exercise and sleep and stress management and all that kind of stuff, people, I find, have a tendency to do some of the exact same mistakes that they're making with their child's screen time, right? They try to limit their access to certain stuff. They create rules. They beat themselves up, especially a lot of my guys out there are mentally beating themselves up inside every time they do something stupid or that they something they view stupid, right? Let me clarify that. But it's like, oh, I'm so lazy I skipped my workout today, or so stupid because I stopped for fast food instead of eating my food I had at home. And they say negative things to themselves and they do all this stuff. And what's happening is they're creating this identity for themselves. And if you can have this happen in people who are already 30s, 40s, 50s, even 60s, I see this where people are literally changing their identity through their thoughts and their words. Imagine what this is like for someone who doesn't even know who they are in the first place yet. That's crazy, right?
Yes, and that's why they are very easily distracted, like their focus and attention, because they do not have a goal. You already know what's your goal for your mental, spiritual, physical, and your life purpose. You already have it. So you already pen it down and you know what's your focus and attention. But for a child, I'm still discovering myself.
Yeah,
I don't have a life purpose. I have no idea what I want. And then that's where all the smartphone, the YouTube, the TikTok, Instagram, is actually just pull them away into the rabbit hole, and then they have no idea what they want because they are just saying, oh, it seems to be good to be like that. But in reality, is that what you want?
Yeah. Yeah.
May not be.
Yeah. That's what other people told them they should be.
Right.
And that's something that I feel like a lot of people, what they end up doing when they're depriving themselves of stuff and they have this restrictive mindset, a couple of things happen. Number one is, it makes you want things that much more, because as one of my mentors taught me, and I say this a lot, is all behaviors are an attempt to solve a problem, right? And when we start restricting ourselves, what we're really doing is we're taking away the solution to a problem, and we're not replacing it with a new solution. And when we do that, we now are trying to fight against something that we want to do, something that makes us feel good. We're taking that away from ourselves. We're having to use all this willpower, and you're actually now having to deal with the actual problem that thing was solving for you. And it's this double whammy. And guys, think about how hard that might be for you as an adult to deal with. And then again, going back to imagine your child who is still trying to figure out who they are in the world. And I think even I could take this a step further for a lot of the fathers out there right now, and think about the things that you do at work, that you do as a father, that you do as a husband, not because they're necessarily who you want to be, but because that's what society's told you to be. That's what other men in your life told you that you're supposed to do. Those are roles that you're filling in a way that is not necessarily authentic to you, but they're what society has told you. And think about how those are not creating happiness for you. And this is why I think a lot of men are walking around right now. They've got great jobs. They got wonderful families. And still, and yet, they feel like they're missing something. They feel like something is missing in their life, that they don't have a deeper purpose. And that's because you're not living your authentic self. You're living other people's version of your life. And that's what's happening to children when they're not getting their needs met and they're turning to technology. They end up living other people's perception of what their life is supposed to be instead of being authentic to themselves.
Yes, 100% agree. And actually, I must actually say this is because when you actually mention it, I can actually reflect because that it was me. I was actually having a good career in cybersecurity. I have all the things that the society tell me. I have all the checklists, tick, tick, tick. But I was actually depressed inside. Then I realized that it's actually something is wrong with me or something wrong with the, like the perception that I must meet. And then that's where I start to begin my personal development journey and I start to discover more about myself and living my life authentically.
Yeah, that's why in my coaching program, the first thing that we always focus on is your vision, right? Creating that vision for who you want to actually be, right? Because most of us, we're not living authentically. We're not living to be what we want to be. We've been living by other people's rules for so long that we don't even know what we want. And so that's the first thing I always work with people on is getting clear on who do you want to become? What do you want your life to look like? Not what do you think your life should look like, but what do you actually want it to look like? And I think that's something that you can apply to your children here and start to help them understand the person that they want to become and let them be able to see that they don't have to be this person that everyone else expects them to be.
Yes, and actually, I think that you also cover one of the mistakes as well. They continue to use the same parenting style that our parents are parented us, and they just continue to use the same parenting belief that was passed down. Yeah. And actually, these parenting beliefs may not be your own parenting beliefs. It's just that the culture told you that you must meet this in order to be bring so-called you fame or to not, how do I say it? Not respecting your legacies or something like that. Yeah, it's something that we actually need to actually honor our children to become who they are rather than trying to pass down and bring our parenting beliefs and actually try to push in onto that, which in turn, they is not who they want to be and they just turn into the technology.
Yeah. Yeah, because we're always going to turn to the thing that's going to give us what we need in the simplest way, right? It doesn't matter if that thing is good for us or not. We are always going to look for the simplest solution because just by nature, if you have your problem, you want to solve it as fast as possible, right? And so we turn to the quickest thing. It's like when you're tired, what do? You reach for caffeine or you reach for sugar. Why? Because they instant energy boost. No one says to themselves, I'm so tired, let me go and get some lean protein, some digesting carbs. Like, nobody does that. It would make sense. It's the most logical thing to do in terms of what's the healthiest thing, but we don't do that. We reach for candy bars and sodas and coffee because why? It doesn't matter if those things are healthy for us or not. They give us energy, and that's what we need. And that's why children are really turning to technology so much. It's just giving them what they need and it's giving it to them instantaneously.
Yes, absolutely.
So Jesse, if someone's out there right now and they're listening and they're thinking, yes, I'm making these mistakes. And I see what you're saying about helping my child kind of start to develop their identity and be able to connect with them better and fulfilling their needs. But I don't know where to start. I'm lost right now. I hear what you're saying, but I don't know how to do that. I'm thinking your webinar is probably going to be the best place for them to do that. So how do they download this list of 20 mistakes they might be making as well as get access to the webinar?
Okay, so basically the webinar is actually called 20 Painful Mistakes That Parents Regret Making in Their Child's Screen Time and How to Avoid Them. You can actually go to this link, bit.ly/screentimemistakes. Okay, so it's bit.ly/screentimemistakes.
Screentimemistakes, okay. And I will put that in the show notes for people as well, just that way they can just click on it.
Sure, thank you so much.
And if people just want to get a hold of you for anything in general, or they just want to maybe follow you, what's the best way for them to do that?
They can actually follow me on Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook. I'm actually more active on Facebook and LinkedIn. So they can actually find me at Jessie Liew SP, JESIELIEW, and S and P.
All right. Thank you so much for coming today. Do you have any final thoughts or anything that maybe we didn't talk about today that you want to leave people with?
Yes, I think we cover actually quite a lot, and I really encourage parents to actually go and actually listen to the webinar, because those parents who actually come to limit and control the screen time, they realize that it's getting harder and harder when their child turning to teenager. And by, I think, 13, 14, 15, it's going to be hard. And by 15, most of them, they felt that they are literally losing that. So please start doing these changes before when they are young, and not only to want to do this when they are much older, like 17, 18 years old.
Yeah, and I'll just add, from something that I've taken from this today, is I feel like for a lot of parents, as you said, one of those mistakes is focusing on correcting the behavior. And so this can very much become about limiting screen time. How do I get my kid off the screen? But through our conversation today, what I've really seen is that this isn't about limiting screen time per se. That's the process, right? That's what we're doing. But what this is really about is allowing you as a parent to better connect with your child.
Yes, absolutely. And then you actually discover that they actually use the technology responsibly. They actually use it because they are empowered. They know that they have the power and they have to use the technology responsibly. And they're actually able to stay safe online. And the best part is they also have the safe space communications. So I remember I just interviewed one of my students, Sarah, and she was actually sharing. She actually joined the program when she became really desperate, like when she saw her 9-year-old child was sneaking at midnight to play computer games. And when she actually go through the computer, she realized that she was searching for porn, and it just got her freaked out. And she was just ready to do everything that I said. So, but when I think that the child able to do it, use the tech responsibly, she actually fulfilled her basic responsibility first before the computer games. She used it mindfully, and she actually recognized that on the game is not always fun. When it's actually not fun anymore, it's actually time to get out. And she recognized that. And this is a child which is more conscious. And then the best part is when she shared that, her child actually shared with her that, actually, I was surfing porn. And then that, and the conversation is actually close. And it's actually a very beautiful conversation that the child was feeling safe to share that in the past, I have been doing something wrong. And that the relationship actually becomes more deeper connection.
Yeah. Yeah, I imagine that's probably a very uncomfortable conversation for a parent to have. But at the same time, I can only imagine how good that would feel to know that you have such a relationship with your child that they feel comfortable even coming to you and admitting something like that. It's a really cool story.
Yes, I love that story very much as well.
Awesome. Jessie, thank you so much for coming again, guys. Again, I highly encourage, I'll put the links in the show notes, but download that PDF, the 20 painful mistakes that parents regret making with their children's screen time. You can sign up for the webinar as well. And also feel free to connect with and follow Jessie on social media. We won't give you any rules for how much time you're allowed to spend following Jessie, because that would be a mistake. You can self-regulate. But guys, as always, I want to remind you that while none of us are born unshakable, we can all become unshakable.
Thank you for listening to the Unshakable Habits Podcast with Coach Stephen Box. Be sure to hit the subscribe button and help us spread the word by sharing the podcast with other men. If you're ready to create unshakable habits, you can learn more and connect with us at unshakablehabits.com.